Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, hope you're doing well. Appreciate you hanging on. I think we had a pretty good first hour. The sad part was when we had to bring in Will from Texas. In case you're just coming in, and he was there, boots on the ground. He covered that horrible flood, a biblical flood, out of his own words. And I said that I'm sure this is what I'm getting ready to say will resonate with Miss Monica, because she's talked about clouds being seeded for rain and things like that. But the rain that happened down there in Texas that killed all those white people, there was just something really, really strange about that. The river rising 21 feet in 1 hour. It was, everything about that was just strange. It makes my skin crawl. But anyway, that was the first hour. Jason covered some of the things that happened in Germany, violence going on against white people in Germany. I picked that article because I thought it would mesh perfectly with this second hour we're bringing on my brother Paul Fromm and my little sister Monica the Braveheart Schaefer. They're going to cover, we're continuing on with German history. And as a sad report to go along with German history, we're going to cover, we being Paul and Sister Monica, with her brother Alfred being rearrested for the umpteenth time in Germany for breathing air while white Christian wrong thing and crime speak. But anyway, I'm going to shut up right now. I'm turning the mic over to since brother Paul from been running German history. We'll go right to you, Paul. Paul, you can bring in Sister Monica whenever you get ready. So go ahead, Paul.
Well, I sure will. Mein Damen und Herren, ladies and gentlemen, this is the German Hour. It's Paul Fromm here on Blood River Radio. And the history we're going to be dealing with today is unfortunately right up to date. It's not ancient decades or even centuries back. It's what happened this very week. And I'd like to welcome former political prisoner and fellow Canadian, Monica Schaefer, and she'll tell us about this item in history as it was dealt with her brother Alfred. Monica?
Yes, greetings. Hello. I, first of all, before I talk about what happened on Monday, I just want to send out, you know, prayers, thoughts, everything for the people in Texas, also North Carolina. We are all under attack with the weather warfare. And yes, you're right, Eddie, I have talked about this quite a few times before. And I find that there are still people who, even though it's right in our faces, you just have to look up in the sky. On most days, you can see visibly that those things in the sky do not resemble the clouds that we experienced as children. There is no question they are conducting weather warfare. In fact, patents for, you know, seeding and doing this and that with the clouds have existed for over 100 years, in fact. I had in my hand an article from a 1958 Life magazine article, this article that was talking about, it was a military man and a meteorologist at the same time saying, we better get a handle on, you know, using weather as a weapon before the Russians do, because otherwise we're done for, you know, this kind of thing. I mean, this has existed for a long time, but they've been ramping it up over the last couple of decades, and now they are really going after this, and all while telling us that we are bad because we're putting too much carbon, our carbon footprint is too large, and we better, you know, lock ourselves all down into our 15-minute cities and, you know, basically stop living because we're heating up the planet with this fake, false narrative about global warming / climate change. And they always did. Conveniently, they told us in advance that storms and fires and floods would increase in frequency. And lo and behold, they are bringing it about themselves and saying, see, we told you so. It's our fault for doing this global warming climate change thing. When they tell us to reduce our carbon footprint, they are wanting us to reduce life itself because carbon is the stuff of life.
Yes.
With that, yeah, so I just needed to say those things. But with that, I can move on to the, you know, the most recent, like Paul says, this is current German history. My brother, Alfred Schaefer, on Monday was arrested again. And this is his third time in jail. The first time was a period of 4 years, beginning in 2018, when both of us were on trial in Germany together. And then they didn't let him out a day early, as they don't, you know, that's the typical thing with political prisoners. If you're a rapist or a violent criminal and you're, you know, on so-called good behavior in jail, they might let you out after two-thirds or even half, if it's your first time in jail. But they don't do that with political prisoners because they deem political prisoners, i.e. those who speak and think wrong, or do a gesture, a peaceful gesture that is very threatening to the establishment, then you are particularly dangerous. The second time he was in jail, it was 13 months after he was freed, or he was, you know, out from his first stint. 13 months later, he went back in simply for a gesture, meaning the old Roman salute. It's straight arm gesture, which they now call the Hitler salute. And he did that while in the courtyard of the jail where he previously was with one other fellow in the courtyard. And I mean, if there is a supposed crime, there should be a supposed victim. I don't understand who the victim is of what crime, but he spent 6 months in a cage for that, or in other words, in jail. And on Monday, they picked him up. They came to his home, six of them, right when they were about to, he and his wife were about to sit down for a supper. The table was already set. The food was on the table. They were just about to sit down when these six are, they were uniformed. So, you know, they were armed and uniformed police, came to the back entrance where the veranda is. And, well, they were civilized enough to let Alfred and his wife eat. But they did take away the knives off the table. No knives, but they left the forks. So they were able to sit there and eat with the presence of these six officers surrounding the table, like standing there, surrounding them, watching them eat. I think it's quite comical, actually, that part. But anyway, they hauled him off to the police station that first night he spent in the cell in the basement of the police station in Fürstenfeldbruck, which happens to be the same place where I spent the first night when I was arrested on January 3rd, 2018. So I could visualize exactly where he was. I mean, I don't imagine there's a whole bunch of cells in the basement of the police station. I think there might just be the one or two, I don't know. But I could visualize that precise place where he was. And the next day he was hauled off to the prison in Augsburg. Now, I do have an article up on my website, freespeechmonica.com. And also his address is there on the political prisoners page there and on the Truth and Justice for Germans .com website. So those websites again, Truth and Justice for Germans, all spelled out, .com, and the political prisoners page there, all, and then the Free Speech Monica, and it's Monica with a K, so freespeechmonica.com. There is an article about it, as well as his address there. So that's the nuts and bolts of it. I can talk a little bit more about it, but I'll pause, let you comment, and then I know we're about to go to first break. Over to you.
Yes, Monica, what is he charged with exactly?
Oh, yes, that's very important. You might ask if he robbed a bank or if he, you know, hit somebody over the head. And no, he did not do any of those things. The charges relate to over a year ago, there was a meeting of friends.
We're going to go to a quick break,
okay.
Monica.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, without further ado, time is money. We're running out of time. We're going to go right back to Sister Monica and what she was saying before we went to the break. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Well, actually, Eddie, you asked me before the break what he is in jail for. And I'll just summarize it because you said it yourself earlier. He's in jail because he's breathing air while white. I mean, really, that's really what it's all about. He's breathing air while white.
I would add into that. He's breathing air while white and thinking.
Yes.
If he was just a conformist drone, that no problem. But the fact is, Eddie is Alfred is a man who has learned a lot in his life. He's gone from a kind of a true believer in 9/11 and other myths to a man who's learned a great deal and who, in the old European tradition, if you've learned something, you want to speak out about it. You want to tell others the good news. Well, what he found out there over a decade ago is not good news to the present rotten elite that runs post-war Germany. But anyway, specifically, what did they say? Why are they arresting him?
Right. Okay. No, and you're right, Paul. The good news. Wouldn't it be good news to find out that something, you know, a whole bunch of people, 6 million didn't die in gas chambers? That would be good news. But no, they get mad about it and stuff like that, right? It is good news, and you're absolutely right. It's just for breathing air while white and thinking and noticing patterns, continuing to notice patterns into our current day, right? So first we noticed, gee, they lied to us about history. Now they're lying to us all the time, and they're actually, you know, committing genocide against us. And we started the hour by talking about weather warfare. So we notice patterns. And what did they do, you know, 5 years ago with this COVID pandemic? We notice patterns. So that's it. Okay, so he was supposed to go to court in April of this year, 2025, and he was invited to go to court. Now, in Germany, literally a court summons, if you get a summons, it is by way of invitation. Literally, the words are Ladung, which means, like, Einladung is to invite. So, you know, you could argue that, okay, if you're invited, and then you can decline, right? But anyway, so Alfred did decline very politely. He wrote a good letter back, and he's done this a few times now. In the past year and a half, or just under a year and a half since he was out of jail from the second stint, he has gotten many of these yellow envelopes in the mail, and he recognizes them when they come, because they are always this certain kind of a yellow envelope, and he knows right away, oh, another nice letter from the state prosecutor. I wonder what they want to tell me now, or what do they want to invite me to now, and this kind of thing, right? So the one he was supposed to go to court in April, and he wrote a good letter to them, and he has help with these, constructing these letters. They're absolutely fantastic. Now, I'll just really summarize the contents, because I could never, you know, start telling you in translation all the great things that were said, but formulated in perfect German and very, very intelligently. Why he is declining their invitation, basically that the charges themselves are completely illegitimate, let alone the whole state is a completely illegitimate state, that they actually have no authority to do this. All of these employees, the state prosecutor, judge, everybody, they are, the only authority they have is by illusion, and all these things are spelled out in this letter. And the fact that they never signed anything, none of these pieces of paper in these yellow envelopes are ever signed. Nothing is signed. So who ultimately is responsible for the contents of that letter? We don't really know.
That,
and he would
strange.
Ask that question. Oh, yeah. No, they're not signed. Like,
that's
so strange.
In Canada, when I got debanked by the Bank of Montreal, I got this letter from the Risk Management Committee. Oh, that's very impressive. Unsigned. I mean, are there 1, 2, 10 people on the committee? Who actually wrote the letter? Is it a president, a chairman, or whatever? No signature. And I've seen that repeatedly. And if you get correspondence from the traffic police, you know, urging you to pay a ticket, it's always an unsigned letter. It's absolutely contemptuous. When I was teaching business English several decades ago, I'd flunk a kid. Well, I mean, if they handed in a sample letter, a business letter that was unsigned, it's just plain rude or harassing. You know, you don't sign if you're making threatening comments on the stall of a washroom. You know, I'm going to kill so-and-so or something. You normally don't sign it because you're a coward and you're doing something sleazy. Well, it's the same thing here, but I kind of digress, but it's part of the modern totalitarian state.
Yes, Paul, you're absolutely right. Not only is it rude, but it is actually, it does make it completely illegitimate, because the whole system is illegitimate. They know that, and no human will take responsibility on this illegitimate system. And there might be a name there, like it, but then the beampte, which means the employee who is writing the letter on behalf of Judge so-and-so, but there's no signature. Now, some of the documents that I have received and Alfred has received, some of them, like let's say the sentencing document, whatever piece of paper, once they've made a decision about the trial outcome or whatever, it might have something on it over the judge's name, but it's a squiggle. There's a name for it, and I I cannot remember the name for this type of a, it's not a signature, it's not an autograph, it's just like, it could be just a squiggle that is like a horizontal line with a bit of a bend in it. And they say, well, that's the signature. No, it's not. It is not. But this charge is, or this summons did not even have that, not even the squiggle. So anyway, what was he being summoned or invited to court for? What was the invitation about? Well, a year prior, so in April of 2024, there had been a gathering of the Freundeskreis Alfred. So Alfred Schaefer Freundeskreis, which means Alfred Schaefer Circle of Friends, something like that. So people, you know, like-minded people, people who are interested, and they all gathered in Augsburg, and he was there to speak, and Sylvia Stoltz was there, one of the speakers. I'm not sure if they had more speakers lined up, but it was a gathering, right? Anyway, just before they got started, but they were all there, they were gathered, they got stormed by, like, many, many police vehicles and outpoured about 100 officers. It's unbelievable, you know, what are... They have a lot of resources to unleash 100 officers on this peaceful group of, you know, some young people, but maybe mostly silver-haired people. I don't know, like, just peaceful group of people talking. And they stormed the place. They left a few hours later after they had pulled every single person aside, you know, interrogated them individually. And in the end, at the end of the day, they did not take anything and they did not arrest anybody, and everybody went home. Okay, so almost a year later, Alfred gets an invitation to go to court, because while these police were doing that, now Alfred does do this when he's being engaged by police, like anytime he's being driven anywhere, or, you know, they pick him up and on the way there, he won't stop talking at them. He'll basically, you know, give them a little bit of a education, but he'll also say things like, are you proud of yourself when you go home at the end of the day? What do you tell your children? You know, your little Johnny or Sally says, Alfred. Oh, Daddy, what did you do today? And are you proud of what you did today? You take an old man and arrest him for words, you know, for not believing in the fairy tales anymore, that kind of thing. So anyway, he did that day too, but there was another woman, a young woman at that gathering, who was actually the primary one that day, who was nonstop talking at the police. But it's just that whenever she took a break to catch her breath, that's when Alfred would step in with things, and that's what the charges were for. I'll get to that in a moment. But what this woman was talking at the police about, she would say things like this. She says, and she was from Berlin, right? And Berlin is kind of like ground zero for a lot of the bad stuff that's going on, the overrunning of Germany with all these, you know, third world invaders, basically. And she's saying, why aren't you taking care of the crime on the streets in Berlin?
Bingo.
Why aren't you doing something about the rapists that are raping our women, like left, right, and center? Every day there's people being raped, there's women being raped, people being stabbed. Why aren't you doing that? Why are you going after a bunch of peaceful people here in a gathering just talking about stuff? Why? She would just be going at them. Like Alfred said to me after that event last year, he was telling me, my goodness, she was very impressive. She was just hammering them nonstop, you know, but every once in a while she had to stop, take a breath, and then Alfred would take over. And okay, so three charges, two of them related to that meeting. I'm just going to go to my article here, and just so that I have it fresh in my head here.
Mark, let me ask one quick question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
But they didn't even get the meeting started, did they? I mean, the police didn't.
No, they had not started.
So what the hell could they arrest them for? I'm going to shut up. That's so insane. But I'm going to shut up.
Well, no, it's like they do house raids. You could say the same thing. Why are they doing a house raid on a peaceful person or whatever? You know, I mean, they knew.
That's just insane.
Obviously, there was some leakage by somebody. You know, there's always infiltrators in every group of people, and there's some infiltrator that leaked the information to the police, and for them to send all these cars with 100 officers, obviously they knew well in advance.
We have to take a quick break. We'll come right back to this. Come back to this point. Don't go anywhere, people. This is a 5-minute break. Get you some coffee.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Texas communities pulling together to recover from the deadly flooding. Here's correspondent Jennifer King.
Hundreds of people gathered for a worship ceremony in Texas at a high school stadium in Kerrville to pray and remember the victims of the deadliest inland flooding to strike the U.S. since 1976.
Our communities were struck with tragedy literally in the darkness.
Youth Minister Wyatt Wentrek.
We pray for all residents of Kerr County.
Dozens of volunteers showed up to help.
Feels heartbreaking, man. I just drop everything in my mind and I say, I want to help.
11-year-old Colton Chansey wasn't home when the trailer where he lives was destroyed.
I just lost everything in my big trailer and some voltage.
But he's lending a hand clearing debris at the RV park next door.
I'm a volunteer right now, so I'm out here doing my best for this community.
I'm Jennifer King.
Also at townhall.com, preliminary findings into last month's Air India crash say the aircraft's fuel control switches were turned off, causing a loss of engine thrust shortly after takeoff. That report also indicates both pilots were confused over the change in the switch setting. Terry Tozier is a former airline pilot and analyst. He says the switch is designed to shut fuel off to the engines and also part of the reset design.
You had an engine failure. One of the actions in the non-normal checklist would be to recycle these switches from on to off and back to on again, which would initiate a restart, which is exactly what happened as designed. Unfortunately, the altitude was so low that the engines were only beginning to recover and they didn't have enough time.
260 people were killed, including 19 on the ground. One passenger did survive. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Hi, Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Step up your grilling game with our Solaire Portable Infrared Grills. Our Compact Everywhere is a favorite of RVers and trailer pullers. Solaire Infrared provides the quick sear for bar marks and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a portable alongside your larger conventional grill to create an instant sear zone and more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at BestHotGrill.com. Affordable, powerful, portable infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com.
Balance of Nature supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
Well, I stopped taking it for a while, and then it dawned on me, so I started taking it again. And I like it. I mean, I love them. I'm never going to stop taking them. And I've got a friend that's coming over here. I'm giving her a little bit for her to go try.
Primetime savings end today. Don't miss out. Go to balanceofnature.com and get 40% off your first preferred set with free shipping as a new preferred customer by using discount code BALANCE.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to let you know, just in case you're tuned in, that Sister Monica Schaefer is here. She's telling us about the sad event of her brother Alfred being rearrested for the umpteenth time. And we said he was arrested for breathing air while thinking, and because the Jews don't like him. That's just as simple as what it's about. And we all know who controls the whole damn show in Germany, in England, in Canada, in the United States. It's always Jews all the time. With that, I'm going to shut my mouth and go right back to Sister Monica. She's going to tell you what's happening with her brother, Alfred Schaefer, being arrested in the gulag in Germany. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Okay, just one little added detail to the summons with the invitation to attend court in April. It was an invitation, but they did also tell him that should he not be there at the appointed date and time to which they were inviting him, that they would be obliged to issue an arrest warrant. So how do you like that kind of an invitation?
Yes.
I'm going to invite you to over for a nice dinner or something, but if you don't come, I'm going to do something nasty to you.
Firebomb your house.
One of the charges was, okay, two charges were for things he said to the police a year earlier, like I explained in the previous segment here. And so this is just to the police officers while they're going rifling through everybody's stuff and interrogating everybody individually and whatnot. He said to them, well, at least I'm not as dangerous as the Negroes raping our women. And that's one of the charges. That's a big crime to say. Now, I would say that's just a statement of fact. I've had some people, it is, isn't it, Paul? It's just a statement of fact. I'm not as dangerous as the Negroes raping our women. Did you want to say something?
No, but that is so typical of Canadian human rights law. We were through a number of cases over the internet in the 2000 and, 15 years ago. And if you're charged with statements that are likely to promote hatred or contempt on the internet against privileged groups, you know, race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, sexual mixed upness, or whatever. Truth is not a defense. It isn't under the criminal code under the hate law, but this is considered civil law, and you can still be fined, a big fine, and other things can be done to you, but it went so far as the Supreme Court, and it said, yes, truth is not a defense. It's the impact of the words. Well, of course, if somebody powerful objects, that's enough. My feelings are hurt, or I feel uneasy, or I don't feel safe. Well, I'm frankly not responsible for somebody being emotionally messed up. And that's, you know, that's really important. It's not, they don't want the truth. They want only a schmarmy account of the third world invasion. Mm-hmm. We're being enriched. We will be so much better with all these people here. Expressions like that, which are lies, are fine. But if you say, well, this group is disproportionately committing crime, and that's particularly the Muslim immigrants invaders of Germany, disproportionate.
Yeah. I'm glad you corrected yourself, the invaders, not the immigrants. Yeah. These are not immigrants, these are invaders. It's very important correction. Thanks, Paul. But I'll give the other two charges, and then I want to come back to this first one about the, at least I'm not as dangerous as the Negroes, because I've had some interesting sort of comments, pushback, whatever you want to call it, from people that are in our own community of truth seekers, truth tellers, etc., about that. It shows that the residual contamination about these words still exists within our own people, and I find that very interesting. But okay, another charge was for something he said with regards to Jews raping 3-year-olds, and you know, my comment to that is that's written right in their holy books, right? Something, and I don't know what the context was of whatever he said there, something like, oh, just like the Jews raping three-year-olds, whatever it was, but that's one of them. And the other one is really also very interesting. In his package that he had with him, he would put a package together, make many copies, and hand it out, sort of like you hand out a business card, but this would be a package, like an envelope full of articles, information, pertinent stuff. And within that, in Germany, calls it Visitenkarte, which is what people refer to as a business card, but like I say, a package. Within that, he had a copy of an article that was written in the Jasper Fitzhugh, November 1st, 2018, just on time for when I returned back to my hometown a couple of days later that week. So it's a weekly small town newspaper. And there was an article in there that was like a big article with an unbelievable title that, oh, such a nice warm welcome to Monica Schaefer. It says, racist filth. And then Schaefer's sentenced to time in Germany. And then the article was just amazing. And I reread that after I saw that Alfred had that within that package, you know, to, because I obviously had read it at the time and that was bad enough, but I was sort of in shock mode anyway. And so I didn't really fully get the depth of how serious an article this was, of seriously an attack on me. Here I was coming out of jail and just returning to the home at a kind of in a vulnerable position, don't you think? And this was, when I reread it a few years later, I just couldn't believe how they framed the whole thing. It's like, really, this was like, you might as well just take me once again and just put a sledgehammer over me. But anyway, in that article, there was a picture, and it was the picture that went around the internet of day one in court, when I had just entered the courtroom and Alfred jumped out of his seat and he was giving quite a tirade at the assembled media who were flashing their cameras and whatnot. And Alfred then also showed how high his dog Pavlov can jump with his nice straight arm gesture, the same gesture as what got him 6 months jail time the second stint. So that's such a dangerous gesture in Germany that they are so extremely afraid of that. You know, relating it to National Socialist Germany. And so that picture is of Alfred doing that Roman salute. And that's what his charge was about, because he had that in his possession and was distributing it. And it's the image of him doing that Roman salute. Like, it's, to me, that boggles my mind that that was one of the charges. That's, it, I don't know. I have no words for that. Over to you, one of you. Go ahead.
Yeah, they are so terrified of anything that is in a foaming at the mouth denunciation of the government of Germany between 1933 and 1945. Actually, the article from the Fitzhugh really is more of an attack on you. You would think they would approve of that. But I guess it's just that one gesture that's forbidden in Germany. And, you know, I have to laugh kind of ironically. Some of my relatives and a lot of people I knew growing up had been World War II vets. And it's hard to know what they really thought, why were they joining up. I think in many cases they'd gone through the Depression, and at least they could get a suit of clothes, footwear, and three square meals a day. I'm not denying their courage, but for a lot of them, it was going to be a better life than they'd known. But if you were to ask, well, idealistically, why were you doing this? Oh, well, to bring democracy to Germany. So to assume that was a motive, let's take a look at what has happened. It is an intellectual dictatorship. That's not democratic. It's not free. And you've got to ask, well, what do all these guys, give up part of their youth for, in some cases their lives or their buddies' lives? What was it all about? Because what resulted is horrible. It's a disgrace.
Basically, we had a situation where Mr. Schmidt went over and was fighting Herr Schmidt. I mean, many of the people in Canada and the United States are of German ancestry. So it's a brother's war, is it not?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. When I think more of the Americans than Canada, but many of the great American war heroes of the First and Second World War were German. Eddie Rickenbacker, our Admiral Nimitz, and so on.
Yes.
And, these were, at least in part, fighting their cousins.
Eisenhower.
Appalling.
That will go. We're going to our last break of the second hour. People, time flies. Be right back, folks.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, sadly, this is the last segment of this hour, and there's so much that Sister Monica has to talk about to Brother Alfred being arrested, so I have some questions, but I'm going to shut up and go to Sister Monica. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Okay, we were talking about this being a brother's war just before the break. It is very important to note, in conjunction with that comment, that these people who went off to fight the enemy, in quotation marks, they were deceived by all the anti-German, atrocity propaganda that was going on for decades already. So really, the soldiers are just the pawns. And who is it that's behind all this? It's the usual suspects. Those we're not allowed to name lest we be called anti-Semitic, right? I mean, they tell us what they're doing. It is the Jews. I mean, let's just point that out. I think that most of your listeners, Eddie, do understand that. But I think that in conjunction with talking about these soldiers going off to do, fight in this war, they didn't know. They were deceived, or they were just all riled up with all this propaganda, and then many of them found out. And I think the part of the reason there's such a high suicide rate among soldiers and veterans when they come back home is probably partially not only that they see horrible things and experience horrible things, that would be a big factor too, for sure, but also that they come to understand that why were they doing this? You know, there's something wrong with the picture, right? That's just my thoughts. I don't know. I've never, you know, I'm not a soldier. I haven't been in that situation, but that's my opinion on that. But anyway, I wanted to just talk about this one charge about the, you know, saying I at least I'm not as dangerous as the Negroes raping our women. Now, I have had several emails and messages coming from people that telling me that, oh, you know, Alfred shouldn't use that word. It's derogatory. First of all, I'd like to address that. What is derogatory? It's just a descriptor, the word Negro. Now, you know, sometimes people might, they talk about niggers and they really flinch. And I'll just tell you something. These words didn't start out being derogatory at all. In fact, I've heard, I should, you know, do the research. I'm sure maybe one of your listeners will do the research, but there used to be bands, like musician bands that would call themselves the such and such niggers or the this or that niggers, right? That wasn't derogatory.
There's a relatively recent one called NWA, which was Niggers with Attitude.
There you go.
I'd like to chime in here for a second. I'd like to chime in. I live in an area of a great majority. Matter of fact, the population of blacks greatly outnumbers the population of whites here in Memphis, Tennessee. And I can guarantee you that, and I'm going to call it the niggers. They call themselves niggers. I call them niggers. If you, anytime you hear the blacks getting together, it's a term of endearment for them, and they kind of shorten it to nigga. They'll say, "Hey, nigga, what you doing, nigga?" It's just every day. But you know what? Well, the strange thing about it, when you're a white person, you just call them, say, "Hey, nigga" or "nigga," and all of a sudden they get all angry and bent out of shape about it. But it's a term that's used every day, all day long here in Memphis, Tennessee. Anywhere there's a large group of blacks, be it the army, be it no matter where it is, that's they call each other niggers. And that's just the way it is. But anyways, back to you, Sister Monica.
I'm so glad that you both chimed in with those stories. Because, yeah, that's it. So why is it politically incorrect for us to say it? It is part of the strategy to basically scatter our brains, make us always on edge. What can we say? What are we allowed to say? You know, this whole political correctness movement that started,
yeah,
it's
a control thing. As a matter of fact, he didn't say niggers, he said Negroes.
Exactly.
I always wonder about groups that can't decide what they are. When I was growing up, some of my relatives in the States called them niggers. The nice ones called them colored folk. Okay, then times went on, and then they were black. Then time went on more, and then they're Afro-Americans. I don't know what they are today. It's the same with our Native Indians. They were Native Indians, and they were Aboriginals, and they were First Nations, and God knows what they are today. I mean, do I have to keep a current dictionary on hand to know what to call somebody? But as a matter of fact, Alfred said Negroes, which is not derogatory. But somebody
right.
objects. It's a good way of avoiding the main point. The point is,
yes,
these people who are look black are committing disproportionate number of rapes on German girls in Germany.
That's right.
That's the point. Oh, no,
that's
I don't like
point.
Your language.
And it was just a statement of fact. Alfred is not as dangerous as those Negroes raping the women, because Alfred has never touched a woman in that way, right? So, anyway, the other part about it, though, is I've also had some pushback. I mean, they're pushing back to me to say, oh, tell Alfred this and tell Alfred that. I find that kind of nonsensical anyway. You could write him a letter yourself and tell him that your idea's on it. But anyway, you know,
and spent $350 on the stick.
Yeah, but anyway, so that he shouldn't be talking about that, he should be talking about the Jews. Well, pardon me, that's what Alfred does every single day of his life, is talking about the Jews. And yes, we keep our eye on the ball that the Jews are the ones who did cause this invasion of the Negroes into Europe, into white countries. So that doesn't mean we shouldn't notice the crimes of these invaders, right? But yes, we do keep our eye on the ball. So I assured that person who wrote to me about that, hey, don't worry. We totally understand and know who is causing this, but it still doesn't make that statement that he's being charged for. It doesn't change anything about that statement. It's not, I mean, it is the Negroes who are committing these crimes. Yes, we know who brought them there, and that is, it is a good point. It's very important to keep our eye on the ball. Eddie, it's like your analogy with the rotten chicken and the flies on the rotten chicken, or yes, at a garbage dump, the flies that are attracted to the garbage dump, you remove the rotten chicken or the garbage dump, and those flies disappear. So the flies would be like these Negroes, the invaders, but the Jews are causing it, so that would be the rotten chicken.
True.
You know?
Absolutely.
In my free speech work, I'm fortunate I don't have to deal with that type of person very much anymore, but I like to be polite and not overreact, but I would be very inclined to say, you know, I'll pass on your advice, Alfred. It's most appreciated, and I also can be expecting your check for $500 to a
yes.
To
that's what I was going to say. Defend. Yes.
Hey,
that's
you,
a great
you,
idea.
You've got an opinion. You're a keyboard commando who probably yes. wouldn't sign your name to anything. Okay, fine. You've got an opinion. Back it up with something. I don't know the people who wrote this. I don't know them personally or even vaguely who they are, but my guess is that they're not exactly big contributors to the cause, financially or otherwise.
Paul, I have
that's
a story
great,
about
great
that.
Idea, Paul. Thank you for that suggestion in future. Maybe
I have
that's
a little,
how I'll
I have
handle
a quick
that.
Story. I have a quick, I'm going to cram this in. I hope the people are listening. My wife came back from the post office about 10 days ago. She had this a large box. This deals exactly what you said, Paul. Back something up. Inside the box, it did not had the box with my address on it. It had no return address, no name. I opened the box. It had some PCB pipes in it and letters telling us about how much they love Blood River Radio and how they spread the word about Blood River Radio, about White's Rice at Walmart, places where they go. The letter said how much they love us, and all these wonderful things about Blood River Radio. But there was no name, there was no signature, nothing. And there was four pieces of PCB pipe in there I was supposed to put together to make some kind of a holder to put a Confederate battle flag in to attach to a bridge or some building or someplace. But that was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I'll tell you, here in Memphis, if you put up a Confederate battle flag, it wouldn't last 90. I wouldn't get out of sight before either my head would be blown off and the truck and the flag would be blown
well,
off.
But, that,
but
that
there's
just
no name, there's no check, nothing. And but see, there's nothing, these no. keyboard warriors. So that was the strangest
well,
thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mom.
So, Eddie, that person didn't have the courage to do that him or herself put up that flag.
True.
And wants you to stick your neck out to do that. With all due respect to whoever meant well, perhaps, I don't know. Or maybe it's like, it's not such a favor to make you do the dirty work and dangerous work and whatnot.
You can't thank them because they didn't sign. I can't say thank you, Joe Blow, because they didn't sign their name. Not in the letter, not in the box, nothing.
With the cost that it took to post that and whatever that the enclosures were, it added up to some money. It would have been far
yes.
more useful to have written a check for that amount of money and sent it to Blood River Radio, and it would have cost the minimum in terms of postage. I think this is, I hate to be nasty, but this just sounds to me like masturbation.
It's just
it sounds like somebody who wants you to get into trouble, Eddie, you know, sort of like this baiting thing.
Maybe.
When I first saw the PCB pipe, I thought, holy hell, is this some kind of a bomb? Well, people, we've run completely out of time. The second hour, it's flown. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, but it went far too fast. Sister Monica, keep in touch. I hope you can come
yes.
on next week. Brother Paul, be talking to you. I'll keep in touch with you two. You two people keep in touch with me. We've got the transition out of the third hour with the bitter enemy himself. He's going to cover General Nathan Bedford Forrest, and I think part of Nathan Bedford Forrest's birthday's tomorrow. So we'll cover that in the third hour. Be right back, folks. Go get you a cup of coffee.
Thank
this
you.
Is a 5-minute break.